And that was Jonah. The prophet of God, Jonah. Now, I'm probably going to, that was chapter one, so I'm going to expand. I'll read from, you know, 2, 3, and 4 a little bit just to kind of give you the full story as we go along, because the story is more an account of the person of Jonah more than it is about the prophet's prophetic utterances. In fact, there's not much of a prophetic utterance at all that ever comes out of Jonah's mouth. Pretty much only one. And given the fact that he really doesn't say much, and that he's probably not the most gracious or good example of a representation of God, would that challenge us? Should that challenge us? God has a way of involving unlikely people in his plans. It should make you wonder why God would involve such a person. Call him a prophet, and God even wants you to know about it. Maybe it's as simple as, you know, if God can use that guy, maybe he can involve me in his plans as well. Right out of the gate, Jonah 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Has the word of the Lord come to you? Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. God shared with Jonah what he wanted him to do. And Jonah wanted nothing to do with what God was asking of him to do. Has the word of God come to you? But Jonah ran the other way. He ran from God and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Why? To flee from the Lord. So here's your first one. He's running from God. He's running from God. Lots of people are running from God. Kind of, first, we need to kind of understand the nature of the request from God. It's a big ask. Go and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Well, he knows the Ninevites, and he knows the Nineveh territory. They're wicked people. They're very powerful. Everybody tries to avoid them. Everybody just tries to stay out of their way. It's like the Lord coming and asking, hey, I need you to go over to Gaza and preach to the Hamas people. Their wickedness has come up before the Lord. Should I get you a ticket to Tel Aviv? Are you the likely candidate? Are you going to run the other way? Yeah, of course. I'd like nothing more than to preach to a bunch of terrorists about how wicked they are in their own land. Well, how about you don't even have to go anywhere? Just go to some of the gangs in L.A., check out some of the Bloods, maybe the Crips. Why don't you go talk to them about how wicked they are? Their wickedness is coming up before the Lord. You don't even have to leave America. That's an ask. That's the challenge. That's the fear. You probably don't want to do it. Jonah doesn't want to do it. And we can easily, you know, overlook the heart of Jonah and just call him a man who ran from God, reluctant to do what God was asking of him because of fear, or he didn't really like that idea. God would later change Jonah's mind, which is a great emphasis on the rest of the chapter and the rest of the book. Jonah is kind of a hero of the faith. We even read about that, Jonah, the hero of the faith. And we shouldn't doubt that at all. Jesus even mentions Jonah. Sometimes, you know, you can kind of see things a little bit more obscure and a little bit more ambiguous. And that Jonah is really not the hero of the story. God is the hero of the story. God was the hero. God is the hero. Jonah, a little more the villain. Kind of the anti-God. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Kind of more along the lines of prodigal prophet. We would relate to a prodigal son who would leave the father, right? Has a relationship with the father. Of course, you know, Jonah speaks to God. God speaks to them. They have a relationship. But I'm not going to, I need to get out of here. And kind of like the prodigal returns, or even reluctant prophet. And certainly, probably a prejudiced prophet as well. And Jonah knows God. Given the fact about Jonah's bad attitude, we might even wonder why God might involve him. After all, there were other prophets. There were other prophets around. There were other people that had relationships with God. Perhaps if he ran the other way, maybe God would ask one of them to do it. Maybe someone else was preached to the people that he really didn't like, that he really feared, that he didn't even want to speak to, or he didn't want to bring up anything that they had done wrong. One thing's for certain, Jonah is a man of contradictions. He's stumbling through. He's stumbling along trying to find his way. And what he's trying to do is find his way out of honoring and serving God. And Jonah really wasn't motivated to do what God asked. I wonder how many of us would just, we need a better motivation than just to honor God. We need a better motivation than to just bring God glory. Most of us would probably be motivated if we would, you know, we knew the outcome, or we'd be motivated if there was a reward in it for us. You know, we're motivated to lose weight. Why? I look better and it's better health. You know, I'm going to quit smoking. Why? Well, because it's going to be better and my clothes are going to smell better. So I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to stop drinking. That's going to be a good thing. I don't need another DUI. So we get motivated sometimes to do that. Motivated by money, well, you get better clothes, get your nails done more often, right? Get the better cell phone, upgrade, yeah. So oftentimes we get motivated by certain things. I get motivated to impress the wife, right? I'm the wife, yeah. I'm always holding my belly in around my wife. I'm hoping that she sees the biceps and sees how strong I am. I'm always trying to impress the girl. Of course I am. I play better golf when she's watching. Jonah did not want a good outcome for Nineveh. Think about that. Did not want a good outcome for Nineveh. He would rather Nineveh did not know his God. I don't want to tell them about you, God, because of the prejudice in my heart. Because of the aching in my heart, because of the hurt that's in my heart, because of the fear that's in my heart, because of the anger that's in my heart towards them. I don't want them to have peace. I know you've heard this before, that God is always watching, and that should really be enough of a motivation to want to bring him glory or to at least do the right things in God's eyes. And then we're motivated, but towards what end? And that's your next slide. Where you want to go and where God leads may not be the same place. Would you still be motivated? It's not the place I want to go, God. Send me anywhere but Indonesia. Send me anywhere but Africa. Send me anywhere southern Florida. Where you want to go and where God leads may not be the same place. I want what I want, when I want it, and I don't care what God wants. Isn't that every sin? Isn't that everyone evading God, turning away? And when Jonah ran from God, was he sinning? And if the word of God came to Jonah and he ran away from the word of God, is he sinning? And if the word of God has come to you and you run away, or you sinning. The conflict can lead to deep challenges of what is best for you and what you think is best for you. There's your next slide. It's a collision. It's a collision of your will versus God's will. And you certainly have a will. the collision of life. Every day, every day, every day. You describe it 1,000 different ways. It's a battle. It's a war. It's a playing field. It's a race. It's a battle. Your will, God's will, every day. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you believe that? Do you even want that for you? Do you even want to live that way? Especially if you don't see the reward in it. Especially if it goes against everything that you think is justification. And this is Jonah's struggle. Not wanting to do God's will. Not wanting to do what God asked of him to do. Unless maybe it might benefit his own life. Maybe unless it meets his own understanding and meets his own logic. Not wanting to do God's will unless it increases the bank account. Or gets him what he wants. Or it hurts them. It hurts them. Nice. See, God called Jonah to do something he didn't want to do. Jonah ran the other way. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh, doesn't like the Ninevites, so he'd rather die. He'd rather be thrown off a ship than go to Nineveh. He would rather die than do that. Why does he protest so much? Why do you? Was he scared of the Ninevites? Was he chicken? He didn't really want to say what God wanted him to say. I don't know what to say, Lord. You're going to have to tell me. Well, I'll give you what to say. Well, I still don't want to go. Well, I couldn't possibly go in these sandals. It's a far walk. I certainly don't have the right attire. I don't look right. I can't go. I certainly don't have the right things to wear. Maybe he started to go, was that really God? You ever do that? Was that really God, or was it just like a bad burrito that I had last night? What is God saying to me? Is he really speaking to me? Maybe you're closer to Jonah and understanding Jonah than you think you are. Hard-headed, hard-hearted, prejudiced, prodigal, wanting your own way, running away. See, Jonah was really not concerned about anything other than his own self. His own feelings, his own well-being, his own comfort, even his own attitude. He liked his attitude. He wanted to keep his attitude. God disagreed with his attitude, but he didn't care about what God thought. He only cared about his own little attitude. Jonah got on that ship, headed for Tarshish, and what happened? A big old storm came up, right? A big old storm came up, placing not just him in a very bad way, in harm's way, but everybody on that ship as well. Have you ever considered that your self-serving, self-centered ideals could be hurting anyone other than yourself? Well, I'm not hurting anyone. Really? You're killing me. Your disobedience hurts others. Dishonoring God, damaging the name of Christianity, dividing the church fellowship. But, you know, it doesn't really matter because you got the right kind of bad attitude everybody's supposed to have. You just keep doing what you feel, even if it's not God's will. You keep holding on to that resentment and that unforgiveness. Yeah, you just keep going on to Tarshish. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Jonah's disobedience endangered the lives of that entire crew. He had a great responsibility to obey the word of the Lord. And so do you. Lest you take the ship down. Just think about your own actions. Think about how your actions affect those around you. Does your bad attitude lead others to negativity? Have you ever even seen anyone, and maybe it's you, I don't know, but you ever seen anybody, they walk into a room that seems all joyful, they walk into the room and they're the dark cloud, they're the Debbie Downer. The whole room just changes. Has your bad attitude led other people into negativity? Has your bad attitude led other people into real harm's way? Well, how about the other side? When you step on the ship or step into the room, everybody lightens up and brightens up. Because of the joy of the Lord, they can see it all over your face. They can see the peace that radiates out of you. They can see the good attitude and the hopefulness that you bring into every circumstance and every situation. Does your following Jesus lead others to Christ? Does your following or ignoring lead people anywhere? Lead them away or lead them to the cross? See, it's dangerous for you to come into the house of the Lord. I preach that a lot from time to time. I like to tell people, you hear the word of God because then you become responsible for what you know and for what you've heard. There's a circle of accountability around you. I know you think it's all about you, but there's a circle of accountability that's around you that God wants to do something in you so that he might do something through you. Lest you think it's all about you. Teenager, I thought we were growing up in maturity and understanding the ways of God and what God was trying to do and how he was trying to reach Nineveh, but you ran the other way. How he was trying to reach the neighbor, but you ran the other way. How he was trying to reach a coworker, but you ran the other way. You keep heading for Tarshish. Don't worry about not doing God's will. It's perfectly okay for a while. You make a choice to run the other way and you endanger yourself and all of those around you. Jonah knows he's to blame. The crew threw him overboard and the storm calmed down. And what did the crew do? They feared the Lord. They made sacrifices to Jonah's God and they made vows to Jonah's God. Why? Because they saw the power of Jonah's God and Jonah's still trying to run. I'd rather die. I know you can witness God and what he's doing in my life, but I don't want to do what God's asking of me to do. I would rather die godless. Do you think you're getting away with something? What's it going to take for you? What does it look like when you run from God in your life? What does that look like in your own life? You head out of town, skip church, hide in your room, play video games all day? What do you do? I just skip Sunday school. I just skip Wednesday prayers. I don't need to pray for anybody else. You just keep heading for Tarshish and let's see what happens. You just keep drinking and driving. Let's see what happens. You just keep shooting heroin. We'll see what happens. You just keep sleeping around with people. We'll see what happens. God can call up some pretty big storms in your life. And I know when you see the storms, sometimes you're praying it away like the devil's coming at you. You can pray it all day long. It's God who brought it. It's the Lord. Maybe your running doesn't look so fast. Maybe your running doesn't look so harsh. Maybe it's, you know, it's not fast and furious. Maybe it's just, you know, kind of slow and subtle. Just slow and subtle in your life. Just a little bit running away. I'm not going to go all the way to Tarshish. Just a little bit. And you come into the next chapter, and Jonah starts crying out, and you can imagine why, if you understood this story. Please forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me, Lord. Here's the prodigal coming to his senses now in the belly of a whale. Listen, Jonah's not there by accident. Jonah didn't get on a ship by accident. Jonah didn't stumble into some kind of sin. He was on purpose. It was intentional. He spit in the face of God and went the other way. He chose to not do the things of God on purpose. The word of God came to Jonah and he went the other way. The word of God comes to New Life Alliance Church. My desires over yours, God. What I want over yours. what I think over your thoughts. I'm right about Nineveh, not you. I'm right about those Ninevites, not you. You caught me, Lord. You caught me running away. Okay, now I'm in the belly of a whale, right? Huge fish. And he's crying out. I guess I can't hide from you. I'd rather die, but I can't even die. You won't even kill me. You're keeping me alive. The contradiction of faith. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do what I say? I have to believe that I'm not your Lord. Are you struggling with your own contradictions of faith? Well, I have some good news for you. Welcome back, man. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Right? So we get it, throw him overboard. God won't even let him die or drown. Sucks him up in a big fish. And here's what Jonah has to say. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All the waves and all the breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I look again toward you, toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters, they threatened me. The deepness surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the great fish, and it vomited up Jonah onto the dry ground. Jonah goes from running from God to now turning to God. There's your next one, turning to God. Jonah saw the error of his ways. I can't escape God. He realized he wasn't able to get enough distance between him and God, particularly when the Lord has spoken unto you and asked of you to do something, you can't get away from it. This is why it's dangerous to be in church, because now you hear from God, instructions from God, and you have an accountability and a responsibility, but you keep heading for Tarshish. Jonah was a product of his own choices. Crisis intervention. Got to cry out to God now. There's no hope for me. I'm in the roots of the mountains. I'm in the depths of the sea. If I don't cry out, what's going to happen? And hear the voice of someone desperately speaking to you to heed the call of God upon your life before you get swallowed up. Do not run from God. Do not ignore his word, lest you get devoured by a beast. God will interrupt some things in your life to get your attention. I don't know how far you have to go before you might come to a crisis where you will turn to God. And I don't care whether you believe this is a literal story or it's just figurative. It doesn't matter. The point is the same. If you're running from God, he will introduce some tragedy. He will introduce some struggles. He will introduce some storms. He will introduce some frustrations to get you to make a U-turn. Jonah's beat up, close to death, and surrendering finally his will. Finally surrendering his will. What will it take for you to do what the Lord's asking of you? What will it take for you to make the U-turn? What storm, what whale of an event has to happen in your life? What 2x4 upside the head? Is that what it's going to take? Do you even know what the Lord is asking of you? particularly if you believe that the word of the Lord has come unto you. Do you just ignore that too? Well, maybe if I don't know, I don't have to obey. What is your calling? What is your gift? What is your message? What is your purpose? I believe the Lord has a very unique calling upon each and every one of your lives, one that only you could fulfill. And I believe it's worth your investigation. I believe it's worth your effort to draw closer into Christ. I believe that God will speak to you. He will reveal himself and show himself to you. He will guide. This is what he desires. He desires this relationship with you. And you get the joy and you get the privilege to seek out your Creator, to know him more intimately. You get to know the power of your own existence. I believe he will open your eyes so that you will see things and see him in a whole different light. I believe he will move you out of your comfort zone. He will change your thoughts about the Ninevites. He will change your thoughts about grace and mercy and compassion. He will change your thoughts about understanding. He will make you a new creation in Christ. Anybody in here a new creation in Christ? Give me an amen. Amen. Well, what's different about you since you've come to Christ? And God speaks again. After Jonah cries out, and he pukes him up onto the land, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again the second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. God's saying the same things over and over and over and over again. God's saying the same things over and over and over and over again. I get tired of preaching the same things over and over and over and over again. And I beg the Lord, why do we have to keep preaching this? Why do I have to? Well, when they get it, we can move on. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord this time, and he went to Nineveh. Nineveh was a very important city, and the visit required 3 days. And on the first day, Jonah started into the city, and he proclaimed, here's Jonah's great message. Here's Jonah's great prophetic utterance that makes it into the word of God for all to see. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. 40 more days, Nineveh will be overturned. 40 more days. That's all he preached, up and down the streets, just walking around in Nineveh. That's all he had to say. That's all the encounter he wanted. That's all the encounter he needed. Shortest sermon ever. Maybe we should take some notes, right, Jeff? Shortest sermon ever. Now he's working with God. There's your next one. He's working with God. My next one, working with God. Give me that one. God gives second chances. Did I miss that one? That's like skipping stuff. God gives second chances, doesn't he? Working with God. Jonah now has gone from turning from God and running away to turning to God, pleading with him, please save me. I'm in the depths of hell in the belly of a... Please save me. And now he goes to working with God. Finally, he relents his will. Okay, I'll do what you ask. I guess I can't get away from you. I guess I can't escape from you. I guess you're always here. You're always going to ask of me to do stuff. So he's the reluctant prophet. He's this reluctant prophet. There is now for Jonah this experience and this maturity about him. What would you say that Jonah learned? What would you say that Jonah learned? Can you learn from his example? What do you think God's trying to express to you in the story of Jonah? This time Jonah didn't run away. He just did what he was supposed to do. Anybody been there? Wish I'd done it right the first time. Wish I'd not, run the other way and I would have missed all those storms, missed all that pain, missed all that hurt. Wish I would have just kind of conceded into God's way early on and I could have been with God and God with me all along. It would have prevented a lot of mishaps. And this is really what's even more, I don't know, endearing, that we can kind of grab hold of understanding Jonah. Jonah wasn't happy. He wasn't happy in his mission. He succumbed to it. God's will be done. He succumbed to it. Yes, your will, God. I'll do what you want, right? He did what he had to do. He came to a place of realizing God's in charge, ultimately sovereign. God is in complete control. Jonah was obedient, sacrificing his will. But here's a great statement. Jonah's happiness, not a prerequisite for God. Think about that, prosperity preacher. Jonah's happiness, not a prerequisite for God. Your happiness, not a prerequisite for God. I think God wants to bless you. I don't see where it's, let's make happy. With the fullness of understanding mission, Jesus with joy goes to the cross and suffers. Was that happy? Did you feel good, Jesus? Bearing my sin? How'd that feel, Jonah, running away from God? Jonah was invited to participate in God's work again, right? Again. And this is fascinating to me because it kind of encourages me in some ways, right? Because Jonah was not disqualified. Jonah was not disqualified even though he had run away from God. Jonah was not disqualified even though he had a bad attitude. He was not disqualified even though he had been disobedient and followed his own will and did things his own way and didn't want to do what God asked him to do. He was not disqualified from doing what God had asked him to do. God did not give up on Jonah. He will not give up on you. Today's that reminder. I'm here to give you that clear call that whatever God is going to do in the world, he's going to do through his people. He's going to do through his people. Stop running from God. Turn to him already and work with him. See, serving God is not even based on our past achievements, and it's not based on our past failures. Serving God is based on God's grace for you. This is why God's the hero of the story, not Jonah. Serving God is all about our repentance. Sacrificing our will. Your personality and your attitude, well, that's your choice. Jonah was called to preach a very specific message. Listen, God's message, not Jonah's message. Jonah would have had a very different message for the Ninevites. He had to preach God's message, God's word. Not what he thought, not his opinion, not his attitude. He had to preach God's word. And Jonah was called to preach to the people that he didn't even like. And the message was, judgment is coming, repent. That's not an easy message to preach, particularly when it's not popular, right? The truth is not always popular. But we've made a commitment. I've made a commitment. Jeff's made the commitment. Our elders have made the commitment. Administration board has made. We will preach the fullness of God. We will preach the gospel of Christ. We will preach the Bible. We will step on toes and we will rejoice and praise our God. This isn't a mamby-pamby kind of, hey, I think I just want to hear all the things that tickle my ears so I can go home and feel good about myself. Here's Jonah acting just like we do. Hard-headed, hard-hearted, stubborn, and at times even a racist. God did not disqualify him. God shaped him, molded him, and used him. And what happened? The people of Nineveh, they believed God's message. They wouldn't have believed Jonah's message, I could tell you that. They would have fought Jonah tooth and nail. But they believed God's message. When you're preaching God's message, the Spirit of God does the work, not the people. God's doing a great work. And from the greatest to the least, they decided to go without food and wear sackcloth to show their sorrow. They repented. And when God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. and did not bring on them destruction that he had threatened. They repented and God relented. Do you think Jonah's life was about Jonah? Do you think your life is all about you? You self-centered, egotistical, it's all about you. Jesus would say, I would go to the cross for you. It's all about you. But there's more to you than you realize. And I want to do so much more in you and through you. Will you be my voice? Will you be my hands? Will you be my feet? Will you go to Indonesia? Will you go to Africa? Will you pay to help somebody get there to preach a message? God's message. That they may turn from their evil ways, that God would not bring destruction upon them. Sign me up. It's easy to preach that God was working in the heart of Jonah and that he's challenging each and every one of us and working in us, but God was working in the heart of the Ninevites. God was working in Nineveh. Those evil, power-hungry, always seeking warriors to come, more things to conquer. God was preparing them to hear a message. Are you ready? That had to come from Jonah. It had to come from Jonah. It couldn't have come from some other, it couldn't have come from Daniel. It couldn't have come from some other soft-spoken, hey, 40 days, you know. It had to come from somebody, I don't really care. 40 days and God's going to ruin this place. I don't even care. God said he's taking this place out. It had to be a message that came from Jonah. His reputation, his attitude was valuable, even if it was bad and he's running the other way. He was preparing them to receive a message from this hard-headed, self-centered, prodigal prophet. A message that only Jonah could have given. The people of Nineveh were receptive to God's message and they responded. The timing of the message was perfect. The hearts of the people were all ready to receive and they were ready to respond. God is constantly at work in the hearts of people. And when you proclaim God's message or you speak to your neighbor, speak to your coworker, or share what God has done for you, or a wonderful message that you heard on church on Sunday, and you share it with somebody, you have to trust in the timing is right and allow God to do what God's going to do. In spite of Jonah's attitude, in spite of his anger, in spite of his prejudice, God did amazing things. God did amazing things with the crew on the ship that he had just endangered all their lives, to the people of Nineveh that God had been working on and preparing for repentance. And now Jonah, after delivering such a wonderful message and seeing all these people repent, 120,000 people, the whole city of Nineveh is repenting and going into sackcloth and ashes and turning from the. He must have just thought, man, I'm a great preacher. He must have just thought, man, that's awesome. Look at how great God is. You know what he was? Angry. You think he celebrate a little bit about what happening to people were getting baptized? Hallelujah. Nope. He's upset. What is going on with you, you crazy, reluctant, prodigal, prejudiced prophet? What now? You crazy man of God, what now? But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong that all the Ninevites would come to understand his God and that they would repent and that God would not destroy them but save them. Somehow to Jonah, wrong, wrong, wrong. Don't agree with you, God. Don't like it. And what seemed wrong was that God saved those terrorists. What seemed wrong was God saved that serial killer. What seemed so wrong was God saved that rapist. What seemed so wrong was God saved that pedophile and that alcoholic and that child abuser. What seemed so wrong is that God would save someone like me. What seems so wrong is that God would save someone like you. You're probably closer to Jonah than you realize. And then here's his prayer. Again, after. You think he'd be celebrating. Hallelujah, the church is in revival. Nope. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home, before you started messing with my head, and I had to run away, and you did all this stuff? Isn't this what I said when I was at home? This is what I tried to forestall. This is what I tried to delay by fleeing to Tarshish. I didn't want you to do this. That's why I left. I knew you were a gracious God. I knew you were a compassionate God. I know that you're slow to anger. You're abounding in love and a God who relents from sending calamity. I know that's who you are, Lord. And I know that's what you wanted for them. I don't want it for them. And now they've got it. And I ain't happy about it. It's better for me to die than to live. Here he is again. Just kill me now. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why all the grace? Why all the mercy? Why all the love? Why all the compassion? It angers me. It doesn't seem right. You don't do things the world's way. Okay. You don't do things the world's way. You don't answer to man. You created man. Here's the Lord's reply. Is it right for you to be angry? In your own stubbornness, in your own prejudices, in your own self-serving ideals, is it right for you to be angry? So here's what Jonah had done. He preached what he had to preach, did what he had to do, and then he leaves the city. And he's gotten out and he sat down at a place of the east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, waited to see what was going to happen in the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah, and it gave him shade for his head and to ease his discomfort, because it was probably pretty hot like it is today. He goes and sits out in the middle of the desert, and God provides this plant to grow up to give him some shade. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. And Jonah was very, here's a good word. He was very happy about the plant. That's nice, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate the comfort that you've given me. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed up the entire plant, and so it withered away and died. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. You ever approach heat stroke, nausea, dizziness, right? He's approaching. He wanted to die. I'd rather die than go through all this. It would be better for me to die than to live. And then here's what God had to say to Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry now about this plant? He was happy about the plant. Now that the plant's gone, you're not happy about the plant anymore? Jonah. It is right for me to be angry. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. He likes that phrase a lot. Here's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. You seem very concerned about the plant. Though you did not even tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have been concerned for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? And there's a lot of animals there too. What are you thinking about? What are you concerned about? Are you concerned about the things of God? or just your own stuff while you're on your way to Tarshish. There's your angry at God. Why is he angry at God? Because he didn't get his way. He didn't get his way. God got his way. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you really believe that for your own life? God had grace and mercy and compassion, and it made Jonah angry. People get angry at me too because I'm kind of kind. I'm pretty patient. They want me to drop the hammer on them. Pastor, you need to call these people and call them out, talk to them. Okay. They want me to drop the hammer. I just picture Nineveh so unworthy and so prepared to hear the word of God that they might turn, that they might repent. And really, didn't God show Jonah the same kind of grace, compassion, mercy, deep understanding that he just gave to Nineveh? Gave them a second chance. Gave Jonah a second chance. But Jonah doesn't want them to have a second chance. What are you thinking about? How many of us are just taking joy in that other people would suffer? That is not God's way. How many people get angry because there's no justice but mercy? Please take no joy in people suffering. Take no joy in watching Jonah in the belly of the whale. Take no joy in watching people backslide away from God. Take no joy in watching them heading for Tarshish. You've been extended grace. You've been extended grace. But do you want it for another? Can you show even those that would come against you what it is to be gracious and kind, even when they're not? Now you're speaking the words of God. And this is one you guys can talk about all day. Does God love the people in the church more than he loves the people outside the church? Does he love Jonah? Oh, Jonah, such a wonderful hero of the faith. Does he love Jonah so much more than the Ninevites? Here's some key truths for you. God can involve you in his plan in spite of your past failures. And then here's another key truth for you. I think that one might be up there if I gave it to you, Jody. Your faithfulness to God's call, or ignoring it, will impact people's lives. Whether you like it or not, your little life, your little blob of existence in this 100-year speck of time has influence to those that are around you. And your faithfulness to God's call or running for Tarshish doesn't matter. It's going to impact people's lives. What kind of influence do you want to have? Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of the Lord that has come to us. And Father, oftentimes, Father, we see things that are a little bit different. And Father, pray that you might minister into our hearts and into our souls. Drive us deeper into understanding who you are and the love that you hold for us and for all mankind. And Father, may we be the people that you desire us to be. And if we're heading toward Tarshish, oh, Father, I pray for no big storms and big whales, Father. I pray that we get it and we would turn back to you. We're going to trust in your graciousness. We're going to trust in your mercy. We're going to trust in your compassion. We're going to lean on you and believe, Father, that your will be done in our lives. Father, may we understand what that means to surrender our own will, our own way, our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own opinions for yours. And may we walk that way in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you.